So welcome back to The Defiant Spirit. I'm Baruch Levy, also known as B, and I'm doing an impromptu series based on a quick talk that I gave yesterday online about Columbia University and the anti-Semitism, the Jew hatred that is just spewing out of the quad there. It's also at New York University, it's at Yale, it's at Harvard, it's at Stanford. Everywhere you go now, it's about Jew hatred. And we're in the holiday of Passover, and Passover is yet another holiday or holy day that reminds us that not only Jew hatred, but hatred in general has existed, exists, and will exist. And we have the opportunity, unfortunately, once again, to live out the story of Passover. You don't have to be Jewish to listen to this. I hope you're not Jewish if you're listening to this, because it's important for Jews and for non-Jews, for Christians, for Americans, for decent human beings to really listen to what's happening and have a conversation about it. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. My teacher, mentor, Viktor Frankl says, there's only two races, the decent and the indecent. It doesn't matter what color you are, what gender you are, what sexual orientation you are, what religion you are, what nationality you are. If you are decent, and I know you are listening to this, it's time to have this conversation, because I'm calling this one Columbia and complicity in concentration camps. Why? My teacher, Viktor Frankl, talks about two different types of concentration camps. One being the four different concentration camps that he was in during the Holocaust, and unfortunately, tragically, so many others. And that is a concentration camp, clearly that is. However, there's another kind, and what he would call the inner concentration camp. It isn't to diminish the actual real-life concentration camps, but it also isn't to say that inner concentration camps aren't just as deadly. And they are. As an example, my father had an inner concentration camp. Through the darkness of his depression and, you know, despair, sort of dark night of the soul, losing hope, he ultimately lost his way in that concentration camp, and he killed himself. And so I counsel, guide people every day through all kinds of inner concentration camps. This isn't a talk on mental health or wellness or spiritual considerations. This is a talk on what's happening at Columbia and elsewhere, because on that quad is a concentration camp. It's an outer manifestation of an inner concentration camp. And what's that inner concentration camp that we see happening there? Hate. Hatred is a concentration camp. Hatred closes us off, closes us down, and reduces us like a concentration camp. As Frankl talked about, what is it by definition a concentration camp? Something that concentrates, that reduces you. By the fact that you're in it, you're less than, you're being reduced. Now, sometimes it's the world doing it to you. And sometimes, as the case is with Columbia University, it's you, the, the person on the quad who's protesting against Israel, and we'll talk about that. It's you who have been closed down by your anger that has blinded you. And how do we know it's blinded you? Because it's no longer a pro-Palestinian demonstration, civil and peaceful. It left that, you know, that ship sailed a long time ago. You know when it sailed? Mostly on October 8th, right after the atrocities. Because right then, even before Israel responded, people were already spewing anti-Semitic tropes. I don't like the word anti-Semitic, two words. I like Jew hatred. I don't like Jew hatred, but that's an honest description. You were hating Jews even before Israel's response. It went from pro-Palestinian, well, anti-Israel, to pro-Palestinian, to pro-Hamas, to anti-Jew, to gas the Jews, to river to the sea, which is the same thing as gas the Jews. It's the call for extermination of the Jewish homeland, the Jewish people, and it doesn't stop there. Because you know what they're yelling at Columbia University as I record this today on the first day of Passover? They're yelling, go back to Poland. They're yelling different tropes of kill the Jews, murder the Jews, get them out, kick the Jews out. This is not a new refrain. This is as old as time. And that brings us back to Passover. Passover is about concentration camps. The word for Egypt, remember the story? Israelites leaving Egypt, going to Israel. The word for Egypt in Hebrew, Mitzrayim, literally means concentration, constriction, reduction. It is about the concentration camps of the Israelis that they were, the Israelites that they were thrown into, so to speak, by Pharaoh. It's the inner concentration camp of everybody around the Passover table, of everybody listening to this, not just Columbia University, because each of us in our own way creates ways to concentrate, to reduce ourselves, to imprison ourselves. Now, sometimes it might be like my dad through darkness and depression and despair. Other times it might be through self-loathing, you know, the chatter that goes from sort of normal chatter in our head to accusations that you are not worthy, you are less than. All kinds of inner concentration camps, but especially around the dark emotions like anger and fear and hatred that is seething in the hearts of so many people on Columbia campuses and at the administrative levels and the left wing of Congress, the Hamas caucus with Ilhan Omar and AOC and Rashida Tlaib, and the list goes on. They have left the realm of discourse, of honest and open dialogue, and now they are prisoners of their concentration camp. I will have a dialogue with anybody, anytime, over any topic. There's not a topic that's off limits, as long as it's coming from a place of possibility and openness and expansion. Doesn't mean we have to agree. I'm sure we won't agree. People tell me all the time, hey, B, I love this, but I don't agree with it. I don't always agree with me. We got to put ideas out there. We got to open ourselves up to the possibilities. And we also have to be willing to say, on some things, I'm wrong. I made a mistake. I was reduced. I was constricted in my thinking, in my feeling, in my ability to communicate. More often than not, in these chairs behind me, couples aren't having a dialogue. They're having two monologues. That's not the same thing. There is nowhere to go with two monologues. There is no relationship. There is no possibility. And again, that brings us back to the ancient Israelites. The work of Passover is not just to look at history, it's to look at the present, and not just to look at Columbia University, but each of us to look inside of ourselves and ask ourselves, how have I shut down? How have I constricted my thinking? How have I reduced my identity to this label and this box at this time, and I'm no longer willing to enter into a conversation with somebody on the right of the political aisle, somebody on the left of the political aisle, somebody who's of a different religion or a different nationality, ethnicity. I will talk about Palestinians and the plight of the Palestinians. We need to have that conversation. But it's not a conversation right now. It's a monologue, and it's an angry monologue, and it's a vile monologue, and it's coming from a place of inner concentration camp. Again, whether or not you are part of that conversation or not, each and every one of us has an inner concentration camp, and we have to stand guard against it. We have to liberate ourselves, not just from ancient Israel and or ancient Egypt and the journey from Egypt to Israel, and not just out on the college campuses and help liberate those so those become places of honest, open dialogue and safe havens for Jewish students. They're not right now. As an aside, Columbia canceled classes. Why? Because Jewish students are in harm's way. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like 1933 Germany or Europe, when Jews were also in harm's way and the world was silent. And the world was at some level complicit. We are complicit if we don't take back our power, as Dr. Frankl says, to choose our response, to choose our response to what's happening around us, to stop living in reaction, to stop living in fear, to use our voice constructively, to enter into open-minded, open-hearted dialogues, even debates, and to do it from a place of kindness, of compassion, of decency. And that's all that can be asked. Again, we don't have to agree. We can agree to disagree. But what is happening right now isn't leading anybody who's involved with it to liberation. It's just sending them deeper and deeper into Mitzrayim. That aside, coming back to you, coming back to me and us, each of us during these next 8 days has an opportunity to go inwards, to look at the ways each of us have become our inner Nazi, as Dr. Edith Eger calls it, another Holocaust survivor, torturing ourselves and reducing ourselves and accusing mm-hmm. ourselves and imprisoning ourselves in that concentration camp. And ultimately, there's only one way out of that concentration camp, and that's through liberation. That's through opening your mind and opening your heart and opening your mouth to enter in to that meaningful and constructive dialogue with yourself, your higher self, with your spouse, your kids, your parents, your friends, your community, and yes, the opposition, whoever they are, whatever they are. And that's what it means to move towards freedom. Every night we're going to be looking at a different aspect of Passover, again, for Jews, for Christians, for Americans, for atheists, for anybody who wants to make sure that they're living in the land of the decent and putting an end to the indecency that's happening all around us, again, on those college campuses, but in our own way, not on that topic, in different ways inside of us. And so this is about liberation. I will see you tomorrow in the next installment of 8 Days to Freedom.